Dr. Ritchie, welcome to the Ask Mom RN Show.
Thank you very much, Tamara. It's nice to be there.
Well, Dr. Ritchie, when someone is diagnosed with cancer, truly, you know, they usually want to be treated as aggressively as possible to hopefully cure it before it can possibly spread. But you say that in the case of prostate cancer, that is not always the best course of action. Could you explain that for us, please?
That's correct, Tamara. First of all, it's a very common disease. It's estimated that 1 in 7 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. Increased incidence if they have a family history, a father or a brother with prostate cancer, or if they're African American. And there are 27,000 deaths per year from prostate cancer. The problem has been that many men who are diagnosed with prostate cancer may not need to be treated aggressively.
And why is that so?
Well, some of the prostate cancers are more slow-growing or what we call indolent, and some are more aggressive. So there are a variety of different tests that we can use to try to decide, but none of these tests is perfect, and we have to discuss all of the options of should somebody be followed with what we call active surveillance, should they have surgery to remove the prostate, or should they have radiation therapy to treat the prostate cancer.
And what are some of the treatments that are available now for prostate cancer?
Well, the standard treatments now are the three I mentioned. Active surveillance, which means you follow the patient with periodic biopsies and periodic blood tests to be sure that you haven't missed a more aggressive treatment. In somebody who's younger and with a longer life to live, where we're worried about the cancer spreading, in those situations, surgery may be better to remove all of the prostate. Or in somebody who's already had some more extensive spread locally, we use radiation therapy, which can kill the cancer cells and the surrounding tissue as well. So those are the three standard options. They each have benefits and they each have risks.
And would you talk about some of the risks involved with these treatments?
Yeah, so the risk of active surveillance is that you have to have periodic follow-up. You can't just forget about it. Biopsies can have some minor risk of infection or bleeding, but most patients tolerate this pretty well and can be followed. That's ideal if you have a tumor that's slow-growing and not going to cause a shortage or decrease in the life expectancy of the patient. If it's more extensive or we're concerned about it being more aggressive, then surgery to remove the prostate is the better treatment. This can be done in an open fashion or now with the robotic, the Da Vinci system. That's about a 2 or 3 hour operation. Men are in the hospital a day or two, but there are risks of leakage problems. Most men after surgery will have incontinence for a period of time, have to wear pads or protection, but ultimately almost all of them will regain continence. Sometimes it can take a few months or longer. The bigger side effect that men are concerned about is potency or erections. After surgery, even with nerve sparing, it takes time for the nerves to recover, but depending on the age of the patient, about 50 to 60% or more will regain potency over time. Radiation therapy also has effects on bowel function, urination, and potency.
And it's very important for a patient and a doctor to work together to decide how best to manage the cancer. What are some of the tools available now to help them decide which is the best course of action?
Well, there are new tools that are very exciting to help decide. The standard tools that we have, somebody who has an elevated PSA ends up having a biopsy of the prostate. The pathologist can look at those biopsies and tell if there's prostate cancer and then puts a Gleason grade on the prostate. That grade scale will go from 5 to 10 on biopsies. The higher the number, the more aggressive the tumor. So somebody with an 8, 9, or 10 almost always will end up getting treated. But the majority of patients, and this is at least three-quarters of the biopsies, will be in the Gleason 5, 6, or 7 range. Those are the patients that may benefit from active surveillance, but we don't have all of the tools necessary. So there are new tools like ProMark, which evaluates proteins in the biopsy to further define the risk. So somebody with a Gleason 7 but a ProMark score that's very low may feel that active surveillance is a good bet and they can follow it, whereas somebody with a high ProMark score may say, boy, I better treat this sooner rather than later.
And would you share with us a little bit of information about symptoms that men should be on the lookout for, as well as what types of screenings and when should they be having a prostate screening?
Excellent question, Tamara. The problem with prostate cancer is that there are no specific symptoms. As men get older, they may have some trouble with urination, but that's usually from benign enlargement of the gland. The prostate is a golf ball, small orange-sized gland that sits at the base of the bladder, and the urine goes through the prostate like a straw through a golf ball. And as the prostate enlarges, that tube squeezes so that it makes it harder to urinate. Unfortunately, that's from benign enlargement, usually not from cancer. The only way to tell about prostate cancer is with screening, with a blood test, and a digital examination of the rectum. The reason for the blood test, that's prostate specific. It can go up with enlargement of the prostate, but as that number gets higher, there's a higher risk of having prostate cancer. So the only way to tell is to have screening on a regular basis.
And at what age should men start screening for prostate cancer?
So there's debate about screening, whether it should be done at all. Some of the quasi-governmental agencies have discouraged prostate screening because there's been overdiagnosis and overtreatment. I think it's much more important to know your number and then decide whether to do anything. The recommended age for screening is from 50 to 74 for most men. If they have a family history, if they have a father or a brother with prostate cancer, they should start screening at age 40. If they're African American, there's a higher risk. 1 in 5 African Americans will develop prostate cancer. They should be screened beginning at age 40 as well. Screening generally involves a yearly blood test and a rectal examination. If everything's fine, you can be followed once a year.
Well, Dr. Ritchie, this has been very important information for our listeners. Would you please share where we can learn more?
Certainly. There are excellent websites. There's the American Cancer Society that has a good website, the American Urological Association. Our company, Metamark Genetics, has an excellent patient information portion of the website. That's metamarkgenetics.com. And the message I would leave for your listeners is know your PSA, get screened, and then be careful about moving ahead with other diagnosis or treatment, but don't ignore it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing this with us today.